Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, suspects, and deadites. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon episode on Tobe Hooper's 1982 horror blockbuster, Poltergeist. How do you hear the full thing? And I'm talking 3 hours on the Tobe Hooper, Steven Spielberg production. Well, become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare. The spectacle of it all is just something I was thinking and chewing on, because it's like, that's just a magic that doesn't really exist in movies anymore. Like, the spectacle of it all almost is like, oh, what Easter eggs are we going to get these days? And that, I don't know, there's something nostalgic about revisiting this movie and thinking of, maybe not even, I guess antiquated is the word, but like, oh, remember a time when the magic show was the sell in movie making. And I just don't know when that ended. Like, when was the last time that we ever actually felt that?
I'm going to say the 90s, but I just feel like that's where it happened. I think that's where everything got a little too self-referential, a little too ironic, maybe. Because let me ask you this question. Do you think our adoration for Poltergeist, how much of it is nostalgia? Where the film is just like a warm blanket because we've seen it so many times. And if Poltergeist came out today, or a film similar to it, would we, because we're not 2 or 3 however old we are when we finally see it, that we're just looking at it as, you know, critics?
Looking at it decades later, I found the parts I maybe wasn't as invested in as a kid or a teenager, aka the familial dramatic elements, I thought that they were extremely strong watching 100%. It now. And that's what that's what stands out to me now, 40 years later, because, you know, look, this is also in the middle of the slasher era. That's horror movies at this point in time. And to have a family at the forefront was just not really seen a lot. And I think they did an incredible job casting that family. I mean, you believe that that's an actual family. Like, you don't think it's Craig T. Nelson, Joe Beth Williams, and the kids. It's, you feel like they have been together for years, and these are their kids, and this is the house they live in.
Well, hold that thought, though, because that's something I really do want to get into in terms of the what ultimately is the big sell of this movie, because it connects to a larger discussion that involves Spielberg, that involves June of 1982, that involves a lot of things. Mac, what do you think? What is the magic show a big sell for you in this movie, or was it as a kid?
I think it was. I mean, it was a time where I was really leaning into that kind of majesty in film and that kind of spectacle. Like, you know, it's the end of Raiders where the ghosts are all roaming around, and that really reminded me a lot of that when the ghost comes out of the TV and stuff, and the way that they use those effects really reminded me of that kind of thing. And to your point, I think the last time I remember special effects being a big deal for film was, and I don't even like the movie, but Avatar. You know, going to see that was like, go, you know, this it was groundbreaking. But after that day, now it's just kind of expected to be good and expected to be that level, and there isn't anything that comes out where it's like, oh man, like, you thought Avatar was amazing, like, special effects wise this, it's not that anymore. I mean, I remember watching Orphan Black, right, on Sci-Fi, and it's amazing to me the way that they are able to do that and make you believe that that Tatiana Maslany is all of these people, and they seamlessly do it where you can't even tell that it's all being done with, you know, camera tricks and, you know, people doubling, and it's weird now. I think it really is just kind of expected. It's like, we've got to that level, we have the technology. Don't, you know, there is no expectation of something to be groundbreaking or something to fool us or be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe, like, this is amazing. It's like, it's all been done now. So I don't know. So I do think that what you're saying earlier about it is very much like, it's not about the special effects anymore. It's about like, oh, I'm going to watch this movie and, like, I'm going to be able to pick out all the things that it's referencing. Because everything is about nostalgia now, and everything's trying to ape old stuff. And I was talking about this yesterday to some people. I said, you know, if as we move forward in time and we're just doing things that are like nostalgia watches or whatever, or everything's harkening back to things that we watched when we were younger, and there's no original things, what are those kids when they grow up? What are the movies going to be like? nostalgia after nostalgia after nostalgia. I don't know. That's a little side tangent.
No, it's a good. No, it's connected to this though, because that's the feeling that I'm having, is that watching this, I'm watching original creators trying to tell an original story, but also find original ways to bring it to life, and all that whole package deal is kind of a sentiment that I'm digging at throughout this entire episode, and ultimately, honestly, lately, just across all the podcasts. But Justin, you have something to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the spectacle, whereas we were so concentrated on groundbreaking special effects, I think what's mm-hmm. happened now, and this is not negative in my opinion at all, it's just a different way of being blown away, is now we've gone away from special effects tricking us into believing something's happening, and now we've entered the Tom Cruise of it all, where now we're trying to pull off actual things happening.
The impossible.
Yeah. Literally, the impossible, Mission Impossible. So, yeah. We got the Mission Impossible stunts that are more or less really happening. There's no cute, amazing direct CGI going on there. And then I haven't seen it yet, but by all counts, Top Gun Maverick, you're literally in these jets going that fast with these actors. It's not green screen. It's not stunt people. Some of them are stunt people. So I think that's the new spectacle, is seeing people pull off what you think is the impossible, as opposed to the impossible.
The conjuring of it all.
The conjuring.
The smoke and mirrors, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much like the video games, like how everything was trying to get to how small can it be and how figured out can it be on the screen, and you're only pressing some buttons. And now everything goes, and then once you got there, everything started going backwards, and it was like, okay, well, now we have like the Wii, where everything's physical again, mm-hmm. and you have to move moving, and you have to do these things. And it's kind of like we hit that peak of CG, of special effects being really mastered. And depends on the movie.
I know. Yeah, it really does.
But now it's like Justin said, it really is like, okay, well, we're actually going to put someone in real danger, and that's why you should come see this movie. It's like, mm-hmm. it's gone backwards, mm-hmm. because that isn't the selling point. Like you said, Mike, it's not the selling point anymore. So this is kind of fun to watch this movie and see, like, this is the first time a lot of folks are seeing special effects on this level, in what they can picture is their home. Cause it's just a neighborhood, So it's really kind of cool. They can it's putting yourself in their shoes, because it's just an everyday, it's an American family, right?
Yep.
One of the things I miss the most about kind of the golden era of Blockbuster, the one that we grew up in, the best one, is the
it
making.
Is, yeah, there's no, it's the, not subjective.
The making of specials on that would run on HBO or even on Primetime TV. And that's
they're
a
always
big
like
part.
10 minutes though on HBO,
Sure. I know. And I'd always get preview, bummed out. And like, I'd be like, come on, give me,
But that's what's missing from the movies today. There's no, how did they do that?
So no, because there is,
why do you
want to
sit and watch
now?
The making of it? Cause you're like, it's just a bunch of nerds in a computer room, not a bunch of bearded nerds, in a parking lot with a giant rubber monster.
A giant arm, like trying to make this thing look lifelike.
Well,
shooting the second unit footage.
Well, isn't it fitting that we're having this discussion during a time like our season of Evil Dead, in which, the great graphics, if you will, were also just as interesting as the ones that are at a Blockbuster level, if not more, because of what you're just saying, Mike. It's like the guys that are in the parking lot. I was like, hey, man, how'd they do that? Let's go try to do that on our own. And like that ingenuity spawned another sort of, genre or sort of industry that, kind of connects a little bit into the Savini era, where it's like, all right, I'm going to figure this out. My DIY.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM podcast network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.